There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love because God loved us first. I'm gonna borrow your stand there, Kevin. Hope you don't mind. Wow, look at us. Look at this. Wow, Eileen, we thought maybe 5 or 6 people would come. Wow. Why are we here? We are here today to celebrate. June is Pride Month, and it's Pride Month for lots of reasons, you know, and if you don't know, go watch the PBS special about the Stonewall Inn. But we are here because God made this earth, and on the last day of creation, God looked at this earth, and he didn't just say it's good, he said it is very good. I'm looking at all of you, look at this choir. We look very good, and when I look around this room, I see love. I see love. I see people who drove through tunnels in Tidewater. Wow! The love of God is bigger than the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. Wow! The love of God is bigger. I see gay folks and lesbian folks and trans folks and non-binary folks. I see straight people here. And thank you. Thank you. Because you know what? In the kingdom of God, as the Apostle Paul said, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. It's just one great fellowship. But we have to claim this pride and we claim our identity because we don't want to be part of a kingdom. And God doesn't want a kingdom wherein anyone is told that they are lesser. We are here to celebrate, yes, our lives, but more importantly, how do our lives reflect that love of God that knows no end? At the height of the AIDS crisis, as you heard Bishop Susan tell us earlier, many of our queer siblings, especially gay men, were dying of AIDS, and it was a world that was ugly. The President of the United States would not say the word AIDS. People were abandoned. People who were dying, and their doctors wouldn't touch them, their families wouldn't touch them, sometimes their partners fled out of fear of this virus that we did not understand, and our brothers and our siblings were decimated. And a group of folks in New York City called ACT UP. ACT UP. If you don't know about ACT UP, go watch that PBS documentary too. I promise WHRO did not pay me to say that. Larry Kramer and others joined together and they said, we aren't gonna stand for this, we're gonna ACT UP. And they began protesting, and they staged elaborate protests to say, we deserve dignity. Every human being is made in the image of God and bears that image forth and deserve dignity. And they had this mantra that we bury our friends in the morning, we protest in the afternoon, and we dance all night. And that part's important. These are biblical themes. We lament, we prophesy, and we worship joyfully. Biblical themes. In the beginning, the triune God, who cannot be held in a binary, by the way, God is 3 in 1. The non-binary triune God sent God's breath out over the abyss and created all that is and said it was good. And God created us in God's very likeness, not because God was lazy and needed somebody to clean up or because God needed to lord power over somebody, but because God wanted love and relationship. And then God did something very strange. Good thing I'm not God. I don't know I would have done this, but God gave us free will. And what did we do? We immediately, brother against brother, began attacking each other, Cain and Abel. But God knew that we had to have free will because coerced love is not love at all. So the triune, non-binary God made us in their own image and said, you are good, you are beautiful, and what I desire of you is that you love me and I'll love you and you love each other. Sound like Chicago, Roxy Hart. That only lands in a Pride Eucharist. And God's people turned away from God, and lament happened right away. When Cain and Abel fight, and Cain kills Abel, his brother, God laments. When the people of God are held in slavery in Egypt, God laments. When they are sent into exile, the people lament. Lament is important because lament names our reality. And so ACT UP lamented those dying of AIDS, and today we have a lot to lament, do we not? There is much to lament when any of our siblings, queer or straight or whatever, immigrant or native, whoever, when any human being suffers, we are to lament, but we are not to wallow in our sorrows. We name our lament, bury our friends in the morning, and then we prophesy, protest in the afternoon. God sent prophets. Prophets like Amos that said, I will set a plumb line in the midst of you and I will show you God's ways. Prophets like Micah that said let justice roll like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And what were Amos and Micah so upset about? The people of God were abandoning the poor, the widowed, the outcast, the hungry, those who were unhoused, those who were pushed out. The prophet said, no, God said in the beginning, it is good. Love is the answer. And so they spoke truth to power. I'm the rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. It's just down the road here. And many, many other churches, including St. Andrew's North. I saw y'all are here. Hi, Ann. I'm going to tell a story about my church, and then I'm going to commission you to go tell stories about your communities, whether your church is a normal church, or your church is MJ's, or your church is wherever you are. I'm sure you've got churches, stories like this, but my church, at the height of the AIDS crisis in the late 80s, early 90s, they were lamenting their neighbors, their physical neighbors who were dying. And a public health nurse who's still at St. Andrew's, Lou Roberts, who is a saint in my book, public health nurse. Lou gathered her friends and she said, people are dying and nobody's doing anything about it. Lou, as a public health nurse, started teaching safe sex practices to the gay men so that they wouldn't die. She said, God thinks that this condom is better than death. And she began teaching and empowering. And she went to the people of the church and she said, we got to do something. These people are dying alone. And that's wrong. And so they began making meals. And they would take the meals to the homes of these, it was mostly men at this time, who were dying. And they didn't just feed them. They rubbed their backs. They took a meal and they gave them a back rub. Have you ever had a bad day and somebody just reaches over and gives you a little back rub and everything's right? These were men whom no one would touch. No one would touch them. And Lou didn't do this because she's a nice person, and many, many went with her. They didn't do it because they were nice people. They did it because week after week, they sat in church. And they remembered that Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. They did it because the God of love said to them, when you clothe the naked and feed the hungry and house the unhoused, you do it to me. They did this not in spite of their Christianity, but because of it. They lamented the death around them and they did not wallow. They went into homes and they prophesied. And they did it publicly. And when those men died, and many of them did, most of them did, they got a Christian rite of burial. And many of your churches I know did likewise. Thanks be to God. We bury our friends in the morning, we protest in the afternoon, and then they would dance. They would worship, and they would laugh, and they'd hit the clubs. And we dance, not just because we gotta get that nervous energy out, which sometimes I do. Notice I cannot be contained by that thing. I'm eager to run up and down the aisles and just like high-five y'all. But the dancing is part of it. It's part of it because music, choir, you know this. Music changes the world. Dancing changes the world. My mama told me when I was young, we are all born superstars. She put my hair up, put my lipstick on in the glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, he said, cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Listen to me when I say,
I'm beautiful in my way, cause God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right path, baby, I was born this way.
I gotta stop because it's live streamed. You're about to get hit with copyright notice. I found my millennials. My people. We dance because we have to. Prophets like Lady Gaga. Or we're my Gen Xers. Madonna are better than Madonna. Gen X, you had somebody even better. You got Freddie.
I want to break free. I got to break free for the first time. This time I know it's for real. I've fallen in love.
And we knew what Freddie was talking about. We knew. I hadn't forgot you, Gen Z. There's a place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. Because we gotta dance, even at the Pink Pony Club. Boomers, I know you're here, because boomers, y'all catch a lot of flack, don't you? I apologize, but boomers, you know who you had. Judy.
Forget your worries, come on, get happy. We're gonna cast all our cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy.
This is Gospel Judgment Day. Yeah, yeah. Gen Z and millennials, the boomers sing better than y'all do. And the silent generation, y'all are at home watching. I know, hi, Harper's Edge, I love you. They had it too in olden days. A glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. American treasure, Cole Porter. These prophets teach us that our joy cannot be contained. It cannot be contained, and it should not be contained. When we can stand in the face of crisis after crisis, when trans women can throw bricks at the police trying to shut down the Stonewall Inn, when people from our churches can feed and rub the backs of men dying of AIDS, when the trans community is attacked and their cisgender allies stand in front of them and say, not my people. When we stand up for one another knowing that God says, do not be afraid for I am with you, we are invincible. And I mean that literally, because the Jesus who was persecuted himself, he was reviled and spit upon. You know why? Because he preached a gospel of inclusion and love. When he was nailed to that cross, not even death stopped him. The women went to the tomb and they lamented. And then they saw him resurrected and they ran to the apostles and they prophesied, we have seen the Lord. And the men didn't believe him. But then they see him himself and they believe and they dance. The triune non-binary God that made all things good dances. Do you know how the early church mothers and fathers understood a God who is three in one? It didn't make any sense mathematically. They said, how can you be a unity when you're three? Here's your word for your next poker game. You want to really impress people? You know the word. What is it? Perichoresis. I found my clergy. Perichoresis, it's a pretentious Greek word, and all it means is the dance, the music of God. If God in and of God's own self is a perfect unity of love held in dance, we are a perfect unity held in dance. A lawyer was trying to trick Jesus and said, what's the best commandment? What's the one I gotta follow? Now I'm going to find my 28 prayer book, people. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart and mind and soul and strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus, do you mean your queer neighbor? And Jesus said, did I stutter? Go forth from this place, beloved of God. Go forth and lament. Lament the troubles of our world, but do not lose hope. Do not wallow. Prophesy to the bones, and the Lord will fill them with life and sinews. And there will be a great army, not of those who go out to kill, but those who go forth to dance. Dance as if your life depended on it, because it does. Revel in the joy of the triune non-binary God. I'm so grateful to be in this place with all of you. to be in this place with the God who loves even a sinner like me, to be in a place where all of God's children are loved, not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. So to quote the great prophet RuPaul Charles, you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love anybody else? Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.